everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded on January 25th, 2017. Here's episode 30 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump Hotel and the White House, whatever. But home of the Trump Hotel, which had a busy week this week. I don't know if you guys know this. The Trump Hotel is on Pennsylvania Avenue. So,
fun fact.
When the new leader walked on by and drove on by, that was past the Trump Hotel.
They're not doing too good, though, I don't think.
The Trump Hotel is a few blocks from the White House, which is occupied by current President of the United States of America, Donald Trump. He's also in the WWE Hall of Fame. And I want to make it perfectly clear that when Donald Trump was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, he said it was the greatest achievement in his life. He has not said that about becoming President of the United States of America.
Yeah, and he had a good opportunity. We're currently on day six. It's January. Pull up the date there. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, January 25th.
It's actually at the top of my outline.
We're dealing with alternative timelines. It doesn't really matter. Nothing really matters
anymore.
They're called
alternative facts, not timelines. That's like an X-Men thing. But no, we recorded this the day before the inauguration, the last episode. And so, yeah, day six of the Trump administration inauguration was, what'd you think?
It happened.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I watched it. It happened, and I am glad I did not use my press credentials to get on the mall, because in 2013 I did that and I covered it, and I thought, oh, there's just going to be too many people, and it was a nightmare to get around, and that didn't appear to be the case this year.
Man, we will have a little bit more on that in a bit, but some of the text as far as what the president read, I think your favorite thing is American Carnage.
American Carnage might need to be the new name of this show.
And the crime, and the gangs, and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American Carnage stops right here and stops right now.
The first thing you thought of was what?
Capital Carnage.
Which was?
A WWE pay-per-view in jolly old England.
From the mid-90s?
Yeah, late-90s, because I think at one of them, they pulled off Jackie's top, and she was topless, because you can pull that shit in the UK.
And I instantly thought of Maximum Carnage, which was the greatest Spider-Man storyline, I want to say, of all time.
It really isn't.
It's not done age.
No, I don't think it has
aged
well at all.
It's from like mid-90s, 93, something like that.
It's got Maximum and Carnage in the title.
But it's Venom,
it's so 90s.
And Carnage, and there's a serial killer. It's
fun. So extreme, like to the extreme. It's amazing.
Anyways, that's what President Trump said in his inaugural address, American Carnage. You went WWE, I went Spider-Man, both of which brought us back to the 90s and instantly reminded me of...
When things were better.
of the intro that we keep talking about. Why do we keep talking about intros for wrestling programming in the 90s?
The Attitude Era, Monday Night Raw, Raw is War, Warzone, you know, they had a lot of names in the 90s. It's a bunch of wrestlers fighting in a warehouse in some urban blighted area with garbage cans on fire, and they're hitting each other with 2x4s, and that's what Donald Trump thinks urban areas look like.
I know we're skipping around a lot, but in the last 24 hours, by the way, the reason why we timestamp all of these is because by the time you actually hear this, even if it's 2 hours afterwards, something will have happened. So in the last 24 hours, Donald Trump tweeted about Chicago. saying if the violence isn't curbed, we're going to send in the feds. I am convinced 100% that the reason why Donald Trump thinks this is because he sees news reports on television shows, specifically on Fox News, because they ran a television report about violence in Chicago, and then he instantly tweeted it. Anyways, that look and resemble and are reminiscent of these intros from mid-90s wrestling programming and one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time, WrestleMania 13, which featured a Chicago street fight, which is not a thing that anyone does, and they made up that term. So, this keeps coming up because it's been 20 years since that, and the Royal Rumble, it's 20 years since it. I know I sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist right now. Once again, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America.
Yeah, and I don't think he was watching a lot of Raw in the 90s, except for when he was on it. He's more on it in the 2000s, you know, so I think maybe the 90s not as much. But it really is the audience they were speaking to with those intros of, like, look at this wasteland. Except they knew, and the audience knew, that they were creating a fictional war zone. Donald Trump thinks that urban centers that he's in, you know where he made that speech, right? Like in an urban center. And just the disconnect there. The day after the inauguration was the Women's March. It was half a million people?
Half a million people.
Yeah. Two of the people there that, well, we forgot who was at the inauguration, getting some heel heat.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Stephanie McMahon and Paul Triple H Levesque.
Okay, so Trips has not been sharing their updates. So Triple H and Stephanie have been in Washington, D.C. for a handful of days. They were here before the inauguration, here on Inauguration Day proper, and they were here on Tuesday. They might have traveled back and forth, but I think this is the reason why Seth Rollins couldn't find Triple H on Raw this week. He was in D.C. Anyways,
Stephanie was on voicemail or on speakerphone on Monday.
Exactly. Okay, so Stephanie McMahon proudly posted an Instagram of her going to a black tie gala on the 19th. On the day of the inauguration, she posted a photo from some good seats.
Yeah. Not hard to get.
For the inauguration. Triple H retweeted one of those things. Throughout all of this, the only thing Triple H was doing was putting over his UK tournament and the animated movie that there's it's like Happy Feet or something to that, like that. One of the like cartoon WWE movies, but it's like it's this weird, it's not an original movie.
It's not the Jetsons one?
It's not the Jetsons one. There's a separate one. You might want to look this up because it's so weird. It's I think it's like Happy Feet 2, but all of the penguins are now WWE stars.
Well, I mean, I think they should do that with every sequel.
So it's I think that's it. Anyways, he hasn't been open and honest about this in any way whatsoever. And the few times that they have said anything, it's stuff like, regardless of your politics, it's an honor to blah, blah, blah. Linda McMahon has not tweeted anything about this other than the senator she's meeting. Vince McMahon has not congratulated his wife on anything. The last Vince McMahon tweet has been RIP Snuka.
Oh, is that because that was after My Hero?
Yes, that was after the MLK My Hero tweet. So this entire thing is still surreal.
Yeah, so from the Twitters, he had retweeted something about Surf's Up 2.
Thank you.
Now
thank
on DVD
you.
At Walmart. And also, yes, he retweeted his wife, regardless your politics, not really a phrase, it was an honor to witness the peaceful transition of power, blah, blah, blah. Them very close to the Capitol. And then the tweet before that was, go see it, about Shawn Michaels' new God movie.
So it's not like this is in storyline, which it should be.
They're just not going to.
I know.
I know it's very frustrating to you, but it's clear at this point that the fact that someone who has taken a tombstone pile driver, someone who's been stone cold stunned in the ring, someone who's kicked her husband and other people in the balls on the ring, I know it's frustrating, but it seems that they know it's bad for business. They're still, you know, trying to see how this whole thing plays out.
You know what's interesting is it's bad for business within the WWE. It's good for business if you're trying to be the head of the Small Business Administration.
Yeah, and that's...
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So a couple of the people at the...
inauguration.
At the march.
The next day. Okay.
Dolph Ziggler was there.
Dolph was sort of reporting,
I think, for Kennedy.
He was reporting for Kennedy, but we saw on Facebook it was more like citizen journalism.
Yeah, he was just FaceTiming. Yeah.
Straight down the middle.
Yeah, and that's, as we've kind of inferred his politics from his work with Kennedy. That'd be Kennedy on Fox Business, not Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Cena tweeted in support of it. Seth Rollins tweeted in support of it.
Seth Rollins tweeted out, March! I was convinced that he thought it was the month of March because he is a dumb, dumb man.
So you're really hurting our chances of getting Seth Rollins on this show to talk about politics, which I think would be illuminating.
He does believe in the Illuminati. You know he believes in the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I skipped Raw, but apparently New Day referenced it.
So New Day, hold on. How did you skip Raw? You cut 2 minute Raw or 3 minute Raw.
Yeah, you just look for spots.
So there was a horrible 4-on-4 tag match.
I saw that, yeah.
And New Day references Lana, like, no respect to Lana. And then Big E just went, women's march, women's march. That's it.
The only part I saw of that is Rusev in his thick Bulgarian accent saying, why do you have Big E, Big Cass? Why do you have Big in front of name? We can see you're big. That is like me coming down here and saying, handsome Rusev.
That's so great.
Which now we just call him Handsome Rusev. That's canon.
Thus far, 2017 is the year of Rusev, based on the last 2 weeks of promos. And all of Total Divas.
And the that whole election we had.
Oh, that's the thing? I thought that storyline's over. That's the reality
no,
now?
That's,
oh.
No, that's the reality era.
You broke kayfabe. Anyways.
Speaking of breaking kayfabe, a guy who refuses to, Alex Jones cut a hell of a promo that was making the... this is when you know something is big, when it kind of breaks out of the wrestling internet and normal people start going, saying things like, Alex Jones just entered himself into the Royal Rumble. So here's part of that.
And I got a center! I don't need a bullhorn! I don't need any other! The will of the Republic will dominate this BS!
Yeah!
Yeah!
1776, baby.
1776 will commence again. You like it? This is just the info war. Imagine you get in a physical fight with us. It's over. You understand that? I know you do now, don't you? We haven't taken the gloves off. And if you want to keep pushing with your commie Chinese and everybody else, we're going to blow your ass off the map. All the secret weapons ain't in the control of you anymore, are they? They're now in the hands of George Washington 2.0, so I know why you're shaking in fear. I'm done. Who else wants to talk?
Yeah, so once again, his biggest influence is clearly, Ultimate Warrior.
We've done this multiple times, and we're going to keep doing it because...
Yeah, but they're kind of great. They make no sense, and they get people watching, much like Ultimate Warrior promos. So the third big thing for the McMahon-Helmsley trip to Washington, as you referenced, was Lynn McMahon's confirmation hearing to be a cabinet-level official and head the Small Business Administration.
So I was watching this live. Were you watching this live?
On and off.
This was on Tuesday morning at 10:30 a.m. This was amazing. Everything I thought I wanted to see happen did. And at the end of the day, I am not that disappointed, and that's so messed up, that she is actually incredibly qualified for this gig, more so than probably anyone else in the cabinet.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, much like everyone in the cabinet, she's done something to, first of all, like Rick Perry, she did say that SBA should be rolled into commerce, but that was just when she was running a campaign. She's also, she formerly headed a company that started as a small business that also did extremely non-competitive practices to put many, many small businesses out of business. So, like, on the scheme of things, she fits right in with the cabinet. None of it, it wasn't illegal that they didn't have any antitrust. That was the least of their problems.
So there were 3 points in this hearing that I want to talk about. But before we get to that, I want to bring up some things that Linda McMahon did on her own to show that she is a good, smart person to do this. She essentially character witnesses. Before she started the hearing, she had the two men that she ran against and lost, both Democrats from the great state of Connecticut. I thought that was a smart, great move. They vouch for this woman's character. They understand the idea of we're going to be opponents during this, but at the end of the day, it's all kayfabe. Let's meet friends. And I thought that was really smart. No joke.
I think with the confirmation here is they have to be introduced by a member of Congress or something.
But
like
they
that.
Don't have to be. But
they
she's
don't,
a Republican.
They're not usually the people that beat you in a campaign. True.
This was so odd that one of the main guy behind the gentleman running the hearing said we should contact Guinness Book of World Records. I had to rewatch it and reread the transcript because I was convinced that they brought up the WrestleMania 3 attendance.
What was the Guinness Book of World?
That
Records?
Was considered the biggest sellout indoor sporting event of all time.
I'm aware of that, but that's
why I thought he was referencing the Guinness Book. I had to really,
what was he?
I wasn't actively listening. Oh, just the fact that there were these two Democrats vouching for this Republican. Okay. That's why it was such a big deal. Anyways, the other thing that she did which she did not need to do in any way, but made my heart just a flutter, was she brought her daughter, which makes sense because, you know, they work together in business, and their son-in-law, Triple H. So Lynn McMahon brought Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, that's her family, to her Senate hearing. So Senate confirmation hearing, sorry, SBA hearing. And then she was, the McMahon, sorry, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H didn't know what to do.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you very much. Now I understand you might have some introductions of your own.
Yes, I certainly do. I'm very proud to introduce this morning my daughter, Stephanie, and her husband, Paul Levesque. And I have, yes, please stand up.
Yeah, all right, thank you. Welcome. Welcome.
I've never seen a wrestler not know how to stand up and receive acclaim.
Yeah.
Did you not notice that?
No, I didn't.
It was incredibly awkward. It was wonderful.
Like I said, I didn't. I was just looking for any mentions of them or when the camera's cutting to them. But these confirmation hearings, this is the committee one. It's basically just a preamble, like this, like really leading question, where you get something like Rand Paul, a strict libertarian, going, well, you know, some people say there's a lot of regulation. Some people say not enough. What do you think? And it's like, well,
almost every answer is, I'm looking forward to working together.
Right. And she knows her role. I don't think he really knew his role, which it's kind of disappointing because I have said that I think he gets it on messaging sometime, was Cory Booker T. Here's what he said.
Ms. McMahon, I want to thank you for being here. It means a lot to serve your country and to step forward and be willing to make the kind of sacrifices you're going to have to make in this position. So I'm grateful for your patriotism.
Thank you.
I want to also just say when your daughter and son-in-law stood up, just want to say for the record that your daughter is far more fierce and intimidating than your son-in-law.
That's sexist.
Yes, well...
He
and I are about the same age, almost exactly the same age, and Paul's letting himself slip a little bit. So after this, maybe we should go to the Senate gym so I can give Triple H some triple help in getting back in shape.
Well, Stephanie might could give you a mean hip toss.
This is like any celebrity on Raw, and they just take the line from the writer or the intern, and they just
say it,
and it's just bad. So I'm now off the Cory Booker T train. I don't think it's going to happen. What about one of the senators from the great state of Illinois?
CM Punk Senator Tammy Duckworth was my favorite senator in this hearing because she brought up health insurance, and she brought up 1099s, which is how wrestlers are paid.
Yes.
Which means they are essentially independent contractors, which means if you have an injury, unless your name is John Cena, that's it. It's one of the reasons why not everyone is a big fan of the business practices of the WWE. They are not the NFL. There is no players union. There is no wrestlers union. Every single time a union is close to forming, Hulk Hogan shows up, or John Cena goes on Larry King and says, I don't think we need it. We're good. I do not agree with this in any way whatsoever, and I know a lot of people are anti-union. That's fine. I'm not. And I'm saying this as a man that's not in a union.
Right, and I'm saying it as a guy who's often a 1099. I mean, it's kind of insane. They're independent contractors who exclusively work for one business and pay for their transportation, their lodging, their health insurance. It's just this kind of crazy thing they've had. And yeah, every time they've had lawsuits about this, they don't really get anywhere. They've kind of gotten muddled up with the concussion lawsuits, which are being done by this ambulance chaser. And yeah, they've never had, the last time they really had a good motion for it, and that when stuff could have happened, was in the 80s, the early 80s, before Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon had consolidated power, when they were still, even in the first couple of WrestleMania years, they weren't the only player in town, and there was an opportunity. Jesse Ventura, the body slash the mind, he had worked. He was like, you know, we need to get a union. This is crazy. And Hogan ratted him out, and that was the end of a union. That was the closest I think it ever got.
So, and for a Small Business Administration hearing, I understand why that needs to come up, but at the end of the day, it's easy for small businesses to go, well, we just can't afford to have a union. So her position won't be that unpopular.
I mean, is WWE a small business? How many employees
exactly.
And how many billions does
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Well, you know,
that's the premise. That's the reason why Linda McMahon should do it, because she took a one desk, one typewriter that she was.
They had to lease the typewriter.
Exactly.
They get so many folksy details.
It's so great. So She hasn't been with WWE since 2009, since that first Senate run. Since then, she's done a lot of women empowerment, women's leadership type of issues and organizations and nonprofits and stuff like that. She's actually qualified for this job, like her beliefs or not. So that's a weird reality in which we live. The final thing I want to point out from this is Senator Chris Coons asked her about trademarks. Here was the question.
When we met, we talked about your knowledge of and experience with intellectual property, using trademarks and licensing to protect some of the key innovations that your business engaged in. And I talked about my passion for patents and for making sure that small businesses know how to protect what they've got and what they can bring to the market. Do you agree it's important to educate small businesses about how they can protect what they invent or innovate, whether it's through patents or trademarks or other IP? And is that something you think we could work on together?
It is something that was such a large part of WWE.
We'd like to point out that Triple H was there. Triple H, the name, is owned by the McMahons. Not Paul. Paul Levesque does not own Triple H, the name. He married into that name. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
That's a fun little thing.
Yeah. Copyrights and 1099s here on the Great American Bash. But yeah, it hasn't even been a week. We're on, like we said, it's day six. But we had quite a few things happen. Like we said about the inauguration and kind of referenced that it was sparsely attended compared to previous inaugurations. Not so, according to White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
On Saturday afternoon, during the Women's March, millions of people of all genders were marching around the world against one man. A different man said, no, you're wrong. Your eyes are bullshit.
Yeah.
And the following day,
said there was 1.5 million people there, period.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's one of the memes from this weekend. And then the next morning on Meet the Press, Kellyanne Conway and Chuck Todd went at it. And Chuck Todd asked the same question 10 times. Why? What? Why?
You did not answer the question of why the president asked the White House press secretary to come out in front of the podium for the first time and utter a falsehood. Why did he do that? It undermines the credibility of the entire White House press office
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck. You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. But the point remains.
Wait a minute. Alternative facts, four of the five facts he uttered. Was Zeke Miller. Four of the five facts he uttered were just not true. Look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
Which became one of the other memes of the weekend. The third meme being Richard Spencer getting punched in the face. White nationalists, Nazis getting punched in the face. Yes, it's okay. That's the official position of this podcast.
Special shout out to thank you to Kevin Brody, who cut together the preferred John Cena entrance punch of Richard Spencer.
That's good. Yeah, I don't like the one with the meme John Cena.
Exactly.
It blows my speakers and my headphones. So you got to do with the real intro. So thanks, Kev. So the alternative facts. Why would they do that? The answer that you don't get is because you have... If the Trump administration says that literally everything the press says, the New York Times reports that the sky is blue. No, it's green. If you delegitimize the press to his supporters and to people on the fence or people who are not paying attention, you can say anything you want. So, yeah, of course you lie about the little stuff because it sets up the big lies.
The wrestling analogy for me is... Every business practice of the WWE, number one. Number two, the easiest to understand is the WrestleMania attendance, specifically WrestleMania 3. And this is the second time it's come up because I think that people reminisce mostly about this specific WrestleMania. When Chris and I did a recap of every WrestleMania, 3 was the one that a lot of people brought up for two reasons. Number one, Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan. That's the famous episode where Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant. It was billed as the first time that had ever happened. That's a lie. The other reason people keep bringing it up is the 5-star match between Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage. It is amazing. No one ever brings up the number. No one ever brings up the amount of people that were in the Pontiac Silverdome except the WWE, which is a lie. Dave Meltzer got WrestleMania reports for a very long time until the early aughts, and every single time there was a discrepancy with tickets and billed attendance. that's just how it is. WWE, for some weird reason that I genuinely do not understand, inflates numbers, even though it has nothing to do with the fan enjoyment. Everyone should be talking about American Carnage. American Carnage is a crazy good line that Steve Bannon wrote and Donald Trump said out loud into a microphone about America. That is amazing. But we're talking about attendance records. Why? It's so confusing. Why is Vince McMahon lying about it? I don't understand.
It's the same thing that both Trump and McMahon do. This is the endless, ceaseless, I'll just use a, you know, pull out the thesaurus, but the need for legitimacy. But, and Vince McMahon thinks the higher the number, that it's seen as more legitimate.
Why not go with something that's so easy, like approval rating? Why not just say my approval rating is it the highest it's ever been? And he could pull up some bullshit stat. These are, like you said, the sky analogy. You could see with eyes how many people were there. Why lie about that?
Because they can. That's how it works. The NPR says they will not be using, in certain things like this, they will not use the word lie because they can't look into Trump's head and see that this is, you know, like with malicious intent or whatever. They honestly pulled the dictionary defines lie as.
Yeah, I know. I heard
cone.
That too.
And I mean, it just, and so they did that, and that's why, because you can.
Okay.
So why wouldn't he wants to be legitimate. He had less people. He saw the crowd that he had. He saw that picture. He saw the meme with the picture of his versus Obama's. He wants to be more legitimate or as legitimate as Obama, and he knows he's not, so he has to lie.
You can't.
He saw the women's march, and he saw that there was millions of people marching against him, and it hurts him in his heart, in his brain, in his crotch, and he lied. That's it.
I just don't understand.
You're overthinking it.
I know.
You're
okay.
Way too close to it, but it's like...
I understand
just,
completely. No. I completely understand what you're saying. And I'm not saying you're wrong. You're obviously right. And there's something wrong with me that I can't grasp how simple this is. Yeah. My one single note is, why not always go with a win? Why not go with an... would just be like, no matter what, I won. I'm Vince McMahon. Like, I won the war. I don't care about numbers. I won. I have WCW now. I'm Donald Trump. I don't care. I won
because
the country.
You don't have the sociopathic, like... tendencies those guys have. I mean, Vince McMahon, yeah, he won the war. He beat WCW. He beat every wrestling company in the world. And what did they do in the first WrestleMania you watched live since a child?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They buried Sting. So, I mean, it just happens. And it's very tough for Trump to say, I won the election, when he's also saying that there was 3 million illegal votes in it.
All right.
He delegitimizes it. So his shoot from the hip thing, it doesn't always hit its target.
All right, well... Yeah. We should focus on something that I just said, and I think you'll agree. Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America. And I don't know if you guys knew this. I think Chris and I knew this. Not everyone, though. Elections have consequences.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to get upset at this week. It was the same stuff you could have been upset about and should have been for a year and a half and up to and including Election Day. Here's the quick things. I'm using the alternative facts of Wikipedia. I think it was Trump presidency page where I'm just because I wanted to keep track of what's happened in his 100 days so far, day six. A regulatory freeze, a spending freeze, a media blackout at government agencies, suspended reduction of FHA mortgage insurance premiums, withdrawal from the ACA, withdrawal from TPP, preventing foreign NGOs to do anything on abortion. That's the Mexico City rule. A government hiring freeze, Dakota Access and Keystone XL pipeline executive orders. Today was the executive order about the border wall. Remember he was talking about the wall a lot, but he said he was going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's the one. And tomorrow, according to the New York Times, are new rules on refugees and also cutting funding to the UN and other international organizations, probably like NATO that we're a part of, unless they have, they like...
Unless they have money.
It's basically if they recognize Palestine, that's a no-go. Abortion, that's a big no-no. Stuff like that. So, yeah, these are all the consequences of not taking Donald Trump seriously enough and not seeing that he was a really good heel and you needed a really good face to beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's our political part. I mean, it's 6 days. You know, we're already seeing people making the same mistakes, but there's also the Women's March. There are, you know, we'll see what that, if that can turn into political action, because it clearly got under his skin. That's why they lied about the numbers.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to, you know, if for opponents of Donald Trump who want to get to him, the way isn't with facts. It isn't with arguments. It isn't with like, well, our policies are better. It's TV ratings. It's attendance numbers.
That's another thing we didn't talk about. every single week on Raw and sometimes on SmackDown. There's like a really odd brag. Like, yeah. We're the number one trending in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know how the NFL always puts up the Steelers versus Patriots
game. Well, because legitimate things don't need... The NFL knows it's the NFL.
I know.
But that's no, but that's really the Trump and the McMahon thing is like they know that they're not
legitimate. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Trump also tweeted about the ratings. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the past few days saying Fox News got 10 times more viewers or 4 times more viewers than CNN. And then CNN came out and goes, no, we had the exact same amount. And then if you combine digital, we beat them.
Right. But why does that? That doesn't matter at all.
Numbers don't matter. This is great.
Yes. But thankfully, we made it through the inauguration, the Women's March. It's been a busy week, but it's nothing compared to what's happening this Sunday, the Royal Rumble.
Guys, I don't usually say guys because I don't like to refer to everyone like we're tweens that are way too happy, but John Cena's got a new t-shirt, and I think we need to be talking about this everywhere.
Yes, let's work our way up. I don't want you to get so excited and tucker yourself out and then have like 4 hours sleep like Donald Trump does and then start tweeting at 7 a.m. So the Royal Rumble, it's in San Antonio. It's on Sunday. It's probably the big four pay-per-views that they do or whatever they're calling them now. It's the most fun for a non-wrestling fan because the Royal Rumble is a simple concept. Everyone can do it. You can bet on it. It's a lot of fun.
One caveat, and I think you'll agree with this. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but at the 2015 WrestleMania, that was the greatest show of the year for one simple reason. Rusev came out in a tank.
Yeah. We didn't get to talk about did this happen? Did we talk about this on the podcast or it happened like inauguration day? There was reports that Donald Trump had wanted to have like a Tiananmen, like a red square type of.
We talked about that. I think it was off mic.
Yeah. I mean, that's Rusev did it. So. He beat Trump to it.
I just snorted. So
Rusev's the best. But no.
Yes, I completely agree with Chris.
Generally, the Royal
Rumble. This is the best. What's the worst? Survivor Series?
Yeah, because it doesn't usually matter. And there's WrestleMania's WrestleMania. SummerSlam is WrestleMania for Smarks. Royal Rumble is fun for the whole family. And Survivor Series is there.
Yeah.
So we got a full card. I think we do a quick rundown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Build up to the Rumble, which is the start of the road to WrestleMania. On the pre-show. One of the matches is Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Club with two refs. I guess these two teams have been fighting for months, and especially since Cesaro and Sheamus got the belts off the New Day. Now I guess there are some ref bumps involved. I'm not watching Raw. It's something convoluted. The Club really need to win, but that's probably not going to happen.
I disagree completely.
You think they're going to win?
They're going to win.
Okay. Then we can actually maybe have the blow off to that Cesaro Sheamus thing just as we're getting used to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Cruiserweight Championship match between Rich Swann and Neville.
This will be great.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one.
I will not be watching it because I don't want to start watching wrestling at
3 p.m. We'll get to the other pre-show match. This is on the main card.
Oh, this is the main card.
Yes.
Okay, I
apologize. So Swann and Neville be on the main card. They'll go out there, retape the ropes purple as they're doing with Cruiserweights. And Neville should probably win this because
I don't care. I'm just excited to watch it. And I do think for non-fans, and I think this is like the show for non-fans, they're going to like the Cruiserweights the most.
Yeah, if they let them go out there and have a good match, I think.
Fun, flippy stuff from two handsome men.
Do you think Neville's handsome?
He's got a type.
We don't objectify men enough
on
this
show. Type.
He's a type.
He's definitely a type. I mean,
they've made that his character, that he's like, he looks different.
Yeah, I think.
He has, like, Lord of the Rings looks.
At points in their career are men that you could bill as like, this is the man you take home to the parents.
Okay. Right now,
Neville's mean, so you don't take him.
No, he's the bad boy. Yeah.
But they both do fun, flippy stuff, and they're both very in shape. Neville way more in shape than Rich Swann.
Yes.
But Rich Swann's gimmick is...
he likes to have fun.
I like to have fun. All my parents are dead. Whatever. I got to have fun.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's all I'm saying on that one. I want to do a quick, in a week where Stephanie McMahon was, feet from the president. Do you think Steph and Triple H met the president this week?
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
No, did they?
Yes.
When?
At one of the balls.
Okay,
yeah. There's a handshake. Or the gal that he showed up to in the night before.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So that happened. So I think it's a good time to reassess the women's revolution that some say Stephanie McMahon started. You just have to like the 999 thing. You kind of just internalize the WWE's language. On the pre-show... is Sasha Banks and Nia Jax. They've been having a feud on Raw. Nia Jax is bigger, and she broke Sasha because Sasha is prone to injuries. And they got a nice little feud going. I guess, you know, something has to be on the pre-show, right? But it does seem like kind of a precipitous fall from someone who was they were kind of co-billing as like the head of this division, and now she's on the pre-show against the Monster Woman. Does it bother? Does it affect you? I mean, you're not going to watch this match.
Yes and no. Here's why. Yes, because clearly I'm interested in both of these wrestlers. I like both of them. No, because number one, elections matter. Number two, it's a Royal Rumble. There's a 60-minute match that isn't one of the two main events.
Yeah.
That's
there's just
why.
A lot. I think the Royal Rumble one, that's the tough thing.
That's the only reason why I'm like sort of okay with this. What I preferred, and I do not understand why they didn't do it, do a Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
Just do a Women's Rumble and have just, that's it.
And it would have been, this is a perfect opportunity for them to, I think it's going to have happen next year after this women's tournament, rumored to be in the summer. I think that's, they realize they can get the, I think this one, they know that they've got as much mainstream coverage as they're going to get because of Goldberg and Brock. But I think they'll, they'll be able to say, when they can say first.
Here's a fun what if. If Hillary wins, is there a Women's Rumble? My guess is yes.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also on the card and the main card is Charlotte versus Bayley for the.
You hear that, wrestling fans that didn't vote for Hillary? Did you want a Women's Rumble? Because I did.
Should have voted for Hillary. That's the only time we get political is when it affects the Royal Rumble card. Charlotte and Bayley on the main card. Their feud. They had some weird promos a couple weeks ago, but I guess the interview segments on Raw were reportedly better.
I don't care about their promos. I'm interested in the match itself.
Yeah, Charlotte's going to win because she has to keep the streak alive until Mania. And that's fine. That's
sure.
Good. Just build her up.
Sure.
The one that I'm like, I'm of two minds, because I think SmackDown, as we've been talking about, it's the only show I watch other than Talking Smack on the network and sometimes 205 Live. SmackDown's women's division is great. They've got these intersecting stories, which is something that wrestling promotions, when they're at their best, do well. They're coming off this feud between the champion, Alexa Bliss, and Becky Lynch. They've introduced the third character in that is Mickie James, this returning veteran. Her storyline is basically, I mean, she's, I think, maybe 34 to 36.
Something. 37.
Okay, so she was in the company in the 2000s, left.
Her storyline, it's not the same as AJ Styles, but it's not that different.
And it's actually, it plays off this meta fiction with the women's revolution, this idea that all these women now, they're the best women that have ever wrestled. Isn't it great that they're getting a chance? And that's part of that's true. But yes, Mickie James does. This is where it's good. Even as a heel, her story makes sense. Is that I was having pretty good matches in the 2000s, trying to compete with Playboy pillow fight matches and get some screen time. I had to work much harder. You guys have Triple H, who likes women's wrestling and has like given you the world. So it's actually a good storyline. They're pivoting to that. They've got Nikki Bella and Natalia having a good promo where they're just like breaking into fights in parking lots and merchandise stands. It's pretty great. And then you've even got the champ starting something with the returning Naomi. And they're all in a 6-woman tag. But like you said, it's an event with an hour long match, so you can't really do service to it. Thankfully, there's 2 more pay-per-views before WrestleMania somehow, and they're each brand specific. So I'm actually interested to see how many at Elimination Chamber, another pay-per-view where there's a main event that's going to take the majority of time. Elimination Chamber is basically like a 6-man match where they all come in at one at a time.
I got an Elimination Chamber question, which is something I never thought I would say.
Into a microphone or at all.
Do they have a Women's Elimination Chamber?
I don't know if they've ever done it.
I mean, this is clearly the time to do
this
it.
This is clearly the time to do it, and that would be good. Or if you're going to do the one, the problem is, and I think this might be the problem with the Royal Rumble doing both, is that it is a really long match, and it's tough to do 2 long matches like that. So at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which I believe is in February, SmackDown only, if we don't see a Women's Elimination Chamber, I'm actually curious to see if that'll be the first time there's 3 women's matches on a WWE pay-per-view.
Ooh, good point. Good point.
So they could easily do that. So that might be, you know, these little one step forward, one step back type of things they've been doing. 2 of the 3 main events are title matches. One is Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns with Chris Jericho in a shark cage. And that's happening because they're selling a toy with a shark cage.
So whenever people are like, wrestling's gay, I'm like, hell yeah, it is. There's a man in a cage.
Yeah.
There's a go-go dancer above men fake fighting.
Yeah, there's a guy. He's wearing leather pants and a scarf, and he's cheering on his best friend. I don't understand what's gay. What's the subtext? That's just text.
This is so great. Wrestling's the best.
Yeah. And then the other match, which we'll talk more about is AJ Styles versus
John Cena.
Oh,
who do you want to win? KO versus Reigns?
I mean, obviously Kevin Owens, like Roman Reigns is going to win.
You think?
No, actually, since they made it no DQ now, I think Owens can actually win.
I think KO wins.
Yeah, I think they're going to find something
else
to do.
And with the multiple titles, you don't have to have him headline with the Universal Championship at Mania.
Yeah. So the one you're really excited about, other than the Rumble, AJ Styles versus John Cena.
America versus the South. Boston versus Atlanta. Patriots versus Falcons.
A white guy
Liberty
versus,
versus racism.
Black guy.
Hip-hop versus
country.
Other hip-hop.
Yeah, other hip-hop.
Serious question. Is John Cena one of the top five rappers from Massachusetts?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's fair.
This is a wonderful, wonderful match. This was the highlight of the summer pay-per-views, this match.
Yes, and they're going to have a great one again. The storyline on this one is basically John Cena came back from his hiatus and said, I'm back, Jack. Give me a match because I'm John Cena, homie. I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically the gist. And AJ Styles is like, I've been the face of this company for a year. You don't just come in and get a title shot and then go on the Today Show and forget my name. You jerk.
And John Cena's like, yeah, I can. I'm John Cena.
Yeah. And so,
I have a new shirt.
So he has a new shirt, which someone pointed out looks like, and he's had this color scheme before, but it looks like Florida Gator shirt.
He's had this color scheme before, but the font is so bad. It's like Looney Tunes. It's Looney Tunes bootleg.
Yeah, because kids like Looney Tunes.
It's so great.
But
I love it.
No, but you got the Georgia guy. I mean, we're looking at world's largest outdoor cocktail party. But yeah. AJ Styles making a good point, and John Cena comes out and cuts a promo last night where he's basically doing Dr. Thugonomics again. You liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it a lot because I understand liberty and democracy, and I listen to John Cena in the Ad Council ads, and I understand why he fights and what this all means. And you're just like, well, I've seen this dozens upon dozens of times for over a dozen years. And I was like, I don't care.
Yeah. And when you've subjected yourself to years of old wrestling, not watched or enjoyed, when you subjected yourself, Ludovico technique style, to wrestling, it's really funny to have John Cena. And I don't mind John Cena in the ring. I don't mind when John Cena wins. This is like the bad storytelling stuff.
Let's just play some of it.
Sure.
Dude, you've been hot for like 6 months. I held this place down for well over a decade. But a guy like you can stand in this ring and call me a sorry excuse for a wrestler. Why? Because I didn't put time in on the indie scene? Here's a spoiler alert. I wasn't built for the indie scene. I was built for the WWE, for SmackDown Live, for the Royal Rumble, for moments like right here, right now. So I'm on a level with you, homie. Regardless of how good you think you are, you're not on my level. You're not even on the level below me. You upset about a poster? Hell, Photoshop yourself over me. I don't give a damn about a poster. I give a damn about Sunday. Oh, yeah, yeah. I am sorry for one thing. You're not a guy from Atlanta. You're just a guy. You're just a guy holding on to that championship because I let you.
And that's what I love about wrestling.
Yeah, because you're a mark. No, I mean, I like John Cena. I think it's funny for him to say, oh, you're so unoriginal. And then he does the same promo he's been doing for 10 years. Says, drops references to his rap songs, which are it's a real thing. He uses the word.
Man.
And he does like the work shoot stuff, but he's like the old. It's just, it's funny. I don't know. It's
come on,
like
you're laughing, you're having a good time.
I want to see a good match.
You're gonna get a good match.
I did not enjoy that promo. I think there's still a way to get Cena his belt so he can get the Ric Flair record, which is a fake record. It's an alternative fact. They just make it up. It doesn't matter.
Wait. Stop. It's not an alternative fact if he gets the record.
Ric Flair. The count they use,
oh, that's true,
is fake.
That's true,
and it's a fake sport where they give the titles away. Okay. So on many levels, I'm excited. I wish I wish there's some way, as much as I don't like that Cena promo, I'm hoping there's some way they can get this feud to go to Mania. I think it'd be, I think of the people.
Rematch at Mania?
Yeah, I think of the people that Cena's rumored to be fighting, AJ's the best. And I think that people that AJ's rumored to be fighting, Cena's the best.
And I am not disagreeing with you whatsoever, and therefore it will not happen.
Sounds good to me. Then we get to the Royal Rumble.
Well, who do you want to win?
AJ. So I'm a big smark.
Fuck you.
Yeah, he can get his fucking title later. The Royal Rumble. I want to just break this down in a few different categories. There's 30 men in it. We know 22 of them. There'll be a couple surprises. So, but looking at the favorites, here's what we're looking at. The names, if you watch wrestling in the 90s, that you would know.
Oh, God.
The Undertaker. Bill Goldberg.
Ugh.
Brock Lesnar. The thing about Goldberg, so he definitely is on some contract. He has the Brock Lesnar special where they're not going to test him or do anything.
Yeah.
He definitely concussed himself on Monday night because he headbutts something in the backstage area to psych himself up because he's a sports guy. He's played football, real sports. He concussed himself, as you could tell by he was bleeding from the head, and also, like, I think he challenged himself to a fight at Royal Rumble. Because he's concussed himself.
He screwed up the promo. I actually didn't finish Raw because I got so uncomfortable.
It's really uncomfortable. Also, it was the weirdest, like, so it's
I'll tell you when I stopped, yeah. When he said, let's try take three, and it was actually only take two.
Yeah, that's the concussion speaking. Okay. So the synopsis of what happened, this is a good contrast of how Raw ended versus how SmackDown ended and why you should only watch SmackDown if you like wrestling. Raw ended with Bill Goldberg concussing himself, botching his promo, Paul Heyman coming out talk about a guy who's given the same promo, so that Lesnar can come out, face off with Goldberg, and then the gong, and then Undertaker comes out, and they all just look at each other with no physical contact because none of these guys, one of them won't take a bump, two of them probably can't, and then the show just ended, which if you were there live, I mean, it's a TV program, you're an extra for a TV show, but, you know, after... A lot of times at Raw, like if the show ends on a note like this, they'll have a dark match where like John Cena will face AJ Styles, but these guys just like left. So they come out and look at each other. Three 40 or 50 year old guys look at each other and they go, like someone was like, I hope they jumped in the air like 80s movie style and high fived and it like freeze framed.
No, I wish Paul Heyman starts doing a one man waiting for Godot.
That seems something likely to happen. As likely as AJ and KO retaining.
Oh, my God.
The other favorites, if you don't watch wrestling, you won't know who these big, burly men are, but Braun Strowman, a.k.a.
Big
Strong Man.
And also former football player, Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Not his real name, Baron Corbin.
What?
Who would name their kid Baron? Have we not made that connection?
No.
Oh my God. Keeps happening. So
are you going to make the Baron Corbin, Baron Trump promo video with Baron Corbin's music, or are we just going to ask him?
Well, I think that's how you lose a job at SNL, so let's not do that. So
I don't respect Canadians. Don't worry about it.
Okay. What about Canadians who have the U.S. title?
Listen, Chris Jericho is a fucking universal treasure.
There it is.
He supersedes America,
yeah,
and Canada.
So those are your favorites in there. I think it's probably going to be Braun because I don't think Corbin is really ready, and they seem to be more invested in the guy on Raw. And the other guys don't need the win to be Goldberg or Undertaker or Brock. They can just eliminate each other, and it's a big storyline.
So...
Because I think we should say, the Royal Rumble, the winner gets a title shot at Mania.
So the title shot typically it closes out the night.
Yeah.
It has for the past, what, 5 years, something like that?
Of Royal Rumble? Or of the Mania?
Mania,
yeah.
So last year was the match no one wanted to see, Triple H and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Roman went over and got booed. The year prior was...
Roman Reigns and Lesnar and Rollins went over.
Okay, because Reigns run the Rumble 2 years in a row. The year previous to that was...
Well, no, and
Cena?
Roman didn't win it 2 years. Triple H, remember? They made the... last year, the Royal Rumble was...
Oh, Triple H. Sorry. Okay, whatever. Oh, my God.
Don't even worry. Like, and before that, it's...
That was the Cena Rock Part 2.
No.
Yeah?
No.
What was it?
Daniel Bryan.
Okay, I apologize.
Yeah. Apologize to Daniel Bryan. But that one wasn't a Rumble either. It was a weird one.
So what we're saying is, even if you win the Royal Rumble, you don't have to headline WrestleMania.
Exactly. So, but... to have that
which
title
shot.
Which
makes it good.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes
that means, yeah, and that means that Brock Lesnar and Goldberg can still fight it at Mania.
And headline.
And not have to win the Rumble.
Which is what's going to happen.
Yes. And some of your surprises here, I think Samoa Joe's likely. That's like a 99% chance.
He is currently not billed on TakeOver. By the way, there's an NXT TakeOver the night prior.
It's the first one that's going to be worse than the WWE event that it
really?
Precedes.
Yes. Just because the roster is so weak?
Yeah, they just okay. And they haven't built any stories. But
Samoa Joe hasn't
taped anything in weeks, and he's not billed.
So he's going to be there.
He's going to be at it. My dark horse favorite is he gets some physicality with Cena because they had teased this story on Twitter when... or on one of their videos or something about their shared history. And there's a good story there because Samoa Joe and John Cena actually did start at the same time.
I know
and
that.
Trained together. So there is a storyline of like, I look like this and you look like that and you got all... And to basically do is what he's doing with AJ right
sure,
now.
Sure, sure. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Ty Dillinger, which you don't know this from, but from NXT, his thing is he's a perfect 10.
Mm-hmm.
And people... And when there's a count out, every number is 10. When there's a pin, every number is 10. He should come out at number 10. But there was a rumor on the dirt sheets that they're not happy with that he's over. And they're not. And so Triple H comes out at 10 or something. I don't know. But the thing that makes the most sense is Ty Dillinger at 10. And then this one, the Kenny Omega thing, the rumor keeps going back and forth. I think we're all getting worked. I don't think Kenny Omega's coming, but
do you think that Pro Wrestling Tees just planted a rumor so they could sell more merch?
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I didn't put it on there, but a long shot with 0%, it's so long that there's literally no chance, is Kurt Angle, who we talked about a week or two ago.
Sure. My number one, which is not going to happen because he's headlining the night previous, is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes.
Even though that would make perfect sense at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because just the intro alone would make the man and sell a lot of t-shirts all around the world, so that won't happen.
Yeah. So what do you hope happens at the Royal Rumble event?
My hope, this is fingers crossed, but I think I got a 50-50 chance. John Cena wins the WWE Championship over AJ Styles. I think that is going to happen. So far, so good. Then John Cena enters the Rumble, which is crazy because he's got the belt. And John Cena wins the Rumble. So then headlining WrestleMania Sunburst is John Cena cutting another ad council ad about how he is America, not Donald Trump, and he's going to unite all of us, and he announces his candidacy for 2020.
Yeah, I'll take that bet.
In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot, knock your shell off. I'm money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business, I live this, it's automatic. I win this, so you hear those guns, you finish. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on you chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid, I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid, your boy hold weight. I got my soul straight, I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3-second tan.